Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Envy, vainglory, sloth, greed, anger, gluttony, lust. We're doing this series on what have traditionally been called the seven deadly sins, or the seven capital vices, with philosopher Dr. Rebecca Kneindike de Young. She's the author of this book, Glittering Vices, a fresh look at the seven deadly sins and their remedies. Last week we looked at envy. It's vainglory's time tonight. And if you find yourself wrestling with something like this, well, don't worry. We'll get to some remedies towards the end of our conversation. Rebecca, welcome to Open House again.
Thank you very much.
As I did with envy, let's get a definition from you on vainglory. It's one of those old-fashioned words we don't really hear. Could we actually say vainglory and vanity are the same thing?
They're very, very close. Vainglory is an old-fashioned and an unfamiliar word to many people. I usually define it as the excessive desire for recognition and approval from other people. So it's a vice that seeks to display yourself to others for applause and approval and attention.
Yeah, similar to vanity, but slightly different. Now, what about pride or ambition? How does it relate to those words?
That's a good question. The way that the tradition understands it is that pride is a desire for superiority. So the prideful person actually wants to be better than other people, whereas the vainglorious person really just wants to get enough attention and approval to feed her ego. And it may be for something base or indecent or less than fully worthy. And that's the way that they're different from the ambitious person. I mean, we're using ambitious here to name a vice. Mm. There's a, you know, and not ambition in the ordinary sense that most of us use it. But the ambitious person really wants to be honored by the right people. So it's an excessive love of honor rather than just sort of a crass attention seeker. So the vainglorious person is sort of the lowbrow version of ambition, if you want to think about it that way.
Isn't it fascinating to work through definitions, you know, because most of us would have put vanity, vainglory, pride, ambition kind of all into the one bag, but there's just nuanced little differences between the two. So pride is wanting to be superior, ambition is wanting to
be honored by others.
Be honored by others, and then mm-hmm. vainglory is just simply to have that recognition and approval, basically get the applause.
Yeah, it's the popularity of vice.
Flesh it out for us. What are some common signs of vainglory that we might see today?
Like I said, there can be lowbrow and highbrow versions of this. I think if you look in American entertainment culture, you can hardly not find an example of vainglory, where people are, and again, it's not a desire for attention per se that's wrong. It's when this gets excessive or you're seeking attention for things that aren't worthy of attention, that are even morally wrong or criminal or just gross or indecent. Those are occasions of pretty obvious occasions of vainglory. And then there are sort of what I call the highbrow versions of vainglory, where you've actually done something worthy of attention, but when you get the attention, you get fixated on the attention rather than recognizing that your achievement was, at least in the Christian tradition, understood as a gift of grace, something that you've been gifted with, and passing along the glory to the person who is the original source of it, and that's God.
You mentioned some other ways that we can do it, like, you know, even just exaggerating our achievements to other people.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't have an embellished resume? I mean, it's a classic case. And, you know, you see this in, at least in my own field of academia, you know, how good an introduction do you get? Do they name your best publications and make you sound like a really smart person? I remember a colleague once who, before he gave a paper, said, you know, my greatest fear is that they won't think I'm smart. And I thought, okay, you know, there's shades of that going on there. And I think we can all relate to that. You don't have to be an academic to sort of put yourself up in front of people and think, I hope I don't get shamed up here. I really want people to approve and applaud when I'm done.
Yeah, you think sarcasm can also come into this as well?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of ways that vainglory can show itself. When I talk to my students, I often ask them, you know, when you post on Facebook, for example, are you trying to be witty in a way that will catch attention? I mean, you don't just post anything that you're doing on Facebook, right? You make sure that you look like you have an attractive attention-getting, approval-worthy life, and that's what you—that's the image of yourself that you promote to others. And you can do this through humor or self-deprecation. Even there's lots of ways to sort of win an audience.
Yes, or even worrying about what people will think of what we're doing.
Yeah, and I think that's the heart of the vainglorious person's problem, is that they don't have a secure sense of their own worth and their own value and the value of their achievements, regardless of what other people say. So the worth of themselves and what they do is based on the feedback they get from others. And there you've got, I think, a really unhealthy dependence on other people's opinions, which is they're sometimes bad judges. Sometimes they can't see inside you and judge you properly, and human opinion is fickle. So it's an unreliable basis for a secure sense of your own value and the value of what you're doing.
Yeah, now, one question we have to raise before we move on is just, is there anything wrong with wanting recognition at all? Like, is there ever a good desire for recognition?
Yes, and actually it's interesting to see that even shows up in the tradition. We're created to be social beings who live in community, who have relationships of love and friendships, and that requires communicating who we are to others and having others affirm that and accept that and show their acceptance back to us. If you think about the way a parent-child relationship works, the child needs attention and acceptance and approval, and that's a normal, healthy, good human need, and can even be a very tender and beautiful thing. The question is, how are you going to go about getting that? Are you going to do that in a way that the irony in a vainglorious attempt to get that attention is that you only disclose the parts of yourself that you think other people will like, and so you're actually hiding yourself from other people who need to know you well in order to love you well. So there's, again, that irony of the vainglorious person seeking something that their very attempt to get it will undermine.
There you go. This is Open House right across the nation. Rebecca Konijndijk de Jong is author of Glittering Vices, a fresh look at the seven deadly sins and their remedies. 1-300-40-2020 if you've got something to add into the conversation. We're talking about vainglory tonight. We're doing a whole series on envy, vainglory, sloth, greed, anger, gluttony, lust, and some of the remedies for moving on, so that they're not so deadly. I mean, they actually sap life from us. I think every single person, every single culture, every single country wrestles with the seven deadly sins, and maybe one or two more than the others, I don't know. Please forgive me for picking on your country just for a few moments, Rebecca.
Oh, please do. They certainly deserve it. I think this is the quintessential American vice, if not avarice.
Well, I found it fascinating the other day. I was watching a children's movie. Merrin and I got it out. It's called G-Force, and it's one of these little, CGI stories about some guinea pigs who turn out to be secret agents. They think that they're secret agents, specially genetically enhanced to be superpowers, and they find out that they're not. But then, of course, they go through the whole crisis and they save the day. And at the end, the final line was, "We're not just secret agents, we're special agents." And I thought through all of the children's TV programs, I thought through all of the children's films that have come out of the United States, and that is essentially the tagline for every one. You go back and look at Bug's Life. You go back and look at Ants. You even look at one of the recent ones like Bolt, a little dog, same kind of storyline. Mm-hmm. You think that he has superpowers and he discovers that he doesn't have superpowers, but in the end he's found out to be a special dog anyway. There's this constant kind of message that at least is coming through those films, at least to kids, you're really, really super special. Now, where has that come from, Rebecca? You, Christian philosopher, you, I'd love to know.
Well, I have an even better, I can outmovie your movie example.
Oh, can you?
Right. Because the great vainglory movie here is the Disney special Beauty and the Beast. Because it's a movie essentially about vainglory. The Beast has the worth and the position, but not the appearance to garner him the approval. Gaston in the Disney film has a wonderful song, Gaston's song, which in fact exhibits all four forms of vainglory, according to Thomas Aquinas. So I always use it as a movie clip in my classes. He's trying to win approval for being having the most chest hair and being the best spitter in town and so on, and using antlers and all of his decorating, and on he goes. And it's a hilarious example, but what it does show is that the approval that he's getting is for things that aren't worthy of approval. Hmm. And I think there's nothing wrong with desiring to be affirmed by others. But the question is, what are you being affirmed for? And what are you seeking to be affirmed for? For example, if you have a project that is genuinely worthwhile, but that meets public resistance, do you have the inner sense of calling and the sureness of who you are and the importance of what you're doing to persevere without public approval, without affirmation from others? And that's an interesting question to ask yourself. Can you do without this, and in what circumstances? And what gives you the energy and the motivation to resist others' disapproval when it's misapplied? And so I think all these movie examples point to both the human need for approval and the ways that it can be distorted by being excessively sought, excessively relied upon, and used as the ground of one's worth.
Yes.
One of the exercises I use with my students to sort of both make us recognize our own vainglory and think about what to do about it is to not talk about ourselves for a week. So they have to spend a week without saying anything about how they feel, without sharing their day, without making excuses and rationalizations for their behavior, without texting and Facebooking and emailing about every little thing about their day. Lots of our lives are sort of built around always promoting a certain image of us that we're projecting to others. And I said, you know, take a week off. And instead of talking about yourself, just receive what other people have to give you. And it was an enormously difficult task. You wouldn't think it would be that hard, but my students found it almost impossible. And when they were done, they were so convicted. They said, you know, I never really listened to others before because I was so eager to jump in with the next comment to make sure that they knew I knew what I was talking about and so on. So rather than being the Gaston who sings a song of self-promotion every time they give him a 30-second gap in conversation, what if you have to earn approval by what you do and not by what you say? What if you learn to be a good listener? It might make you a better person and a better friend.
Yes. The other irony with all of this is that as you were doing your research, and you've mentioned a few times the tradition, basically it's the Christian tradition that these vices have actually come out of, that vainglory can become a real problem for those who are spiritually progressing. They're actually becoming more spiritually mature.
Absolutely, because then you actually are getting attention for things that are worthy of glory. And then what do?
You're becoming godly, so, and everybody loves you for it.
Yeah, exactly, and you get positive reinforcement, and in a way it's a wonderful encouragement. And Aquinas says that's actually one of the ways to use glory well, is to use it as an encouragement to keep pursuing virtue. But you can very easily sort of get caught up in the glow of affirmation and turn the moral project into becoming good in order to win the right sort of attention, rather than seeking virtue for its own sake and because of the sort of life that's worth living.
Because the opposite can also be equally as uncomfortable. You know, when somebody, you give somebody a compliment, it doesn't happen so much these days, but
right.
I remember somebody who got up and sang a song in church, and the person got down after they had sung the song, and the pastor said, "Oh, that was just beautiful. You know, thank you for singing that." And the person said, "Don't thank me, thank God." And the person then said, "Honey, it was beautiful, but it wasn't heavenly." we can quickly, I guess, as Christians anyway, can quickly say, "All right, sure. Well, I'm not going to be vainglorious. So, you know, if anybody gives me any compliment, I'm just going to say, right, don't do that. You know, thank God for what I've." That's equally uncomfortable.
Right, and I think what you need to sort of find is the balance between overstating and understating your own achievements. And you really just need to recognize the source. I mean, if someone compliments you because of some great gift God has given you, then you can say, "Thank you. I've been blessed, and I'm glad I could be a blessing to you."
Yeah.
You know, and that's a perfectly reasonable way to acknowledge the compliment as coming genuinely to you, but to also acknowledge both the source and the reason for the gift. The point is to share it and to edify the church. And if you can do that, to be genuinely pleased that it could be used in that way, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But you're right, it's a tricky business to pull off without sort of seeming falsely modest or hypocritical or any of the other things.
Yeah, I guess receiving it, but also, like you said, it's remembering that you're a channel of a gift. You know, you're not just the kind of prime source of it. Now, last week you were mentioning how the vices don't necessarily have a direct correspondent with a virtue, but some of them do come close. Is there a kind of a, you know, one that comes close to a correspondence for a vainglory?
You know, that's one of the more puzzling ones in the tradition, and it often got conflated with pride. And so sometimes people would say, you know, what you need to do is cultivate humility. In the tradition, there isn't a direct corresponding virtue. What there are recommended spiritual disciplines. Mm-hmm. The tradition recommends silence and solitude. And so our attempt to not speak about ourselves for a week in my class was an attempt to sort of, and in a modified way at least, try to practice one of these two disciplines. Mm. And we did find that being silent about yourself was a useful exercise in, I think, learning to appreciate others. And there isn't sort of a virtue name for that. But the idea that you don't need to put yourself forward, you've got a strong assurance of who you are and what you're called to do, so that the affirmation that you receive is a gift, but it's not a necessity.
Really enjoying these conversations, Rebecca. Thanks so much.
You bet. Thanks for having me on the show.
We'll continue with Sloth next week. Dr. Rebecca Kneindijk de Jong, author of Glittering Vices, A Fresh Look at the Seven Deadly Sins and Their Remedies, is our guide on the seven deadly sins. Openhouseonline.com.au for the podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.